stated medical office in Coleman, and he would be will never be forgotten by the Marines. Unarmed, they endured everything the Marines endured, and their losses were heavy. Medical officers and corpsmen landed with the assault waves and kept on landing as long as the Marines kept coming in. Some stayed on the beach, caring for the wounded that were brought there and evacuating them to hospital ships under the most savage artillery and mortar fire. Others moved inland with their Marine units and cared for the Marines who were wounded in the bitter fighting across the island. This one unit of corpsmen suffered casualties of exactly 50%, 18 out of 36. Two of the three doctors originally with this unit were wounded and evacuated. This is a typical picture of the casualties suffered by these Navy men in performance of their duties. Many corpsmen were killed and wounded, carrying the Marines out of the front lines under shell fire. Others were hit searching for Marines who had fallen in front of the front line. And today we have our microphone set up on what is known as Blue Beach in Iwo Jima to bring you the voices of a group of these corpsmen with the 4th Pioneer Battalion. First of all, we want you to meet Thomas and Mate Third Class, Thomas R. Franklin, on 123 Austin Avenue, Libertyville, Illinois. Tom, won't you tell us something about your early experiences here on Iwo, the trouble you had getting ashore?
Well, we landed about 2:30 to 3 o'clock D-Day. Well, we landed we had about 15 or 16 in the boat. We didn't have any mortar fire for about a half an hour to an hour after we landed. We set up a rough collecting station, what is known as evacuation station. We picked up all the medical gear we could find lying around the beach. We dug our foxhole the best we could and evacuated the men to the rest of our relatives. Along about 12 o'clock, we started receiving mortar fire, and an LSP came in and loaded on about 25 to 30 patients and got rid of most of our stretcher cases.
Mm-hmm. You eventually moved up to one of the Marine companies, didn't you, up in the line?
That was a pretty sad day for me. About D plus six, they told us that we were going to have about six men to go up to Company A. That's the one job that's already scared me to death. But there's only one thing I could do, go up. So I did one up. I went up.
What were you doing up there? What was your particular job?
Well, we went out with the companies. I was assigned to K Company, 3rd Platoon, 23rd Marines. The 1st Platoon, we go out where the Marines go. Believe me, that isn't pleasant.
Well, I know it isn't. Do you have any close calls up there?
Yes, I had close calls with the snipers. I thought I was scared of mortar fire, and I really am scared, but I was up there, and I was just hoping and praying that no one would get hit so I wouldn't have to go out and expose myself. But those snipers aren't willing to freeze you, so one of the fellows got hit in the leg. He was lying behind the rock when he got hit. I can't understand why he got hit, but still, he asked for a corpsman. You just go without thinking of the danger because you don't know enough, probably. I went out there and gave me a couple bullets over my head, that's all.
Well, that's all. I think that's enough. You did get the Marine back all right, though.
Yes, the Marine was evacuated all right.
I agree. Well, perhaps you do go without thinking. But be that as it may, you fellows have gotten in some very tight spots and been able to get not only yourself but the wounded Marines out, too. Now, here's Thomas and Mate Second Class, Clarence Easley, of 2417 Linden Avenue in Knoxville, Tennessee. Clarence, you were with the beach party, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I came in about the 8th wave on D-Day, about 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Found on the beach, and they were throwing a few shells, and they hit a couple of boats in the same wave, and hit a few men. And we got on the beach, and they started throwing a lot of artillery and mortars, kind of barrage at us. Quite a few of the Marines were getting hit all around and continued to cry foreman, and only we had four or five lines. But as it were, there were a few of us and a lot of work to do, so we went at it the best we could. Started putting battle dressings here and fence there the best we could.
What sort of shelter were you working in?
Well, it was just an exposed foxhole, or not a foxhole, just exposed
a hole.
Just a shell hole of some kind. And, fix them up as best we could and hope for some way to get them out. And we sent them out by LPVCs, that's the landing craft.
You had some trouble on one of those, didn't you?
Well, in the afternoon of D-Day, about 3:30 or 4 o'clock, one of them pulled in, and we started to load it up with casualties, and we loaded down, and She tried to back off, and they laid about three shells on her. She capsized. First thing we knew, we had casualties floating all around the water, so Buck Elvis had to go out and push them back into the beach. Wait for another one to come in.
I see. Was the fire pretty hot about that there, Jim?
Hot enough for me.
I know. It's pretty hot all over this particular Blue Beach area on D-Day. Speaking of getting the casualties off, here's Farmers' Mate Third Class Cecil A. Bryan of 1537 West 69th Street in Los Angeles. You had some experiences down here on the beach. You drew the beach party, weren't you?
Yes, sir. It was all up and down the beach here. Our main big-time trouble there was when we had one LSM coming in. We was evacuating casualties on it right while the Japs were giving them artillery and mortar fire right direct on the LSM.
Had the LSM been assigned to carry casualties?
No, sir. Just grabbing anything that came in. It had tanks on it. It was trying to unload the tanks. The Japs were trying to knock out the tanks and the LSM at the same time.
And when she started ramped down and got rid of the tanks and all these casualties started to come in?
They come in while the tanks were trying to come out. Casualties were getting hit. We had fellas there was killed carrying patients on. And we had fellas that, with their arms off, they were running on this LSM. And people that ordinarily would be in a hospital was going at a full gallop trying to get on this thing, running up and down the beach.
Wasn't it you who were carrying one end of a litter when the man on the other end was hit?
Yes, sir. He was killed. Why it missed me, I don't know. It just went around me.
Well, those things do happen. There's no rhyme or reason as to why and who gets killed in one of these operations. But how long was it, Cecil, before you were able to get some sort of system out of all this chaos on the beach?
Well, you got me on the time. I imagine it was the organized system was 2 to 2 days though before everything.
This sand made it rather difficult for you, too, didn't it?
Yes, sir. Carrying casualties and also for the boats coming in. They couldn't land on the surf. Give us so much trouble.
And you weren't able to use any vehicles either, were you?
Yes, sir. We never had no vehicles. It was all packed.
I know what you mean. It was very rough down here on this beach those first few days. And now here's Farmers and Mate Second Class, Robert M. Campbell, of 3217 St. Ursula Street in Laredo, Texas. Bob, you were up with one of the companies, weren't you?
Battalion 8.
You came in on D-Day, though, with these men down there.
I didn't come down
today. Oh, you were assigned right up to the Battalion 8 when you came ashore.
Sure, it was the same ashore.
What sort of job were you doing up there?
Well, Battalion 8 is second stop from the front lines. They go send the ambulance chief up the front lines and pick up casualties and bring them back, and the doctors would recheck their wounds and redress them there, give them plasma and hope. No, they didn't carry any hope, but just plasma. And send them on their way down to the beach for evacuation.
What sort of patients are these men usually?
Well, the greatest majority that I saw were mortar shells, mostly. There were some snipers, but the worst of them was the mortar shells.
Are they usually pretty cooperative and kind?
They're very cooperative. Yes, they have a lot of guts, in other words.
Well, no matter where they go, you fellas are right along.
That's right.
Are you any close calls yourself up here?
No, not personally, no. Just all sniper fire the jeeps and mortar shells, that's all.
Do you know of any cases where the Japs have fired a German in the jeeps?
Oh, yeah. Just the other day, I think, they got one.
Do you think the jeep was well enough marked? I mean, is it they get fired?
The fellas that were on the jeep, I know they stopped and they had to evacuate the thing before they got hit. And when they cooled down, well, they got back on and took off again.
Now, here's another fellow we want you to meet. Here's Pharmacist Mate First Class Raymond Seifert of Route 2 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Ray, you too were up in the Ford Company, weren't you?
Hello.
Did you come ashore on D-Day with this outfit down here in the
beach? Yeah, that's the day I worked on beach about 3 or 4 days, and I went up to France.
And how about some of your personal experiences up there?
Well, I was working with the Italian aid station, and at that place we took care of casualties that came from up front, set up with a CP. We administered more first aid to them, the more plasma, and then they were brought to the beach.
Do you have any close calls yourself up there?
Well, I mortar shells were quite a few of those on a beach and up front.
thanks a lot. Easley, were you...
Or was it Franklin here? Easley, or... Which one of you fellows was it? Was on the suicide planning campaign?
It was you, wasn't it?
You're Easley. I was going to ask you how you think this campaign compares with Saipan.
Well, Saipan was an operation that was pretty tough, but Iwo Jima had a lot more mortar fire, artillery fire. We had more casualties, more work for the corpsmen.
Your own casualties were much higher, too, weren't they?
We didn't lose near as many men as we lost in Iwo Jima. So.
Where did you lose the majority of your own men? Here on the beach?
Here on the beach.
During those first days?
First days.
I'm going to ask you the same question I just asked friend over here. How do you find these Marine test patients? Are they usually cooperative?
Well, they're always willing to help in every way possible. They help themselves a lot, and
I'm not going to pin you down to that, because after all, this program is to try to show the people the sort of work that you're doing, and you and your group of corpsmen, not only in this 4th Marine Division, but through all Marine Divisions, deserve a great deal of credit. The Marine Corps would be seriously handicapped if it weren't for the work that you fellows are doing. So, we can't express too strongly the appreciation shown for the kind of work that you fellows are doing. Thanks a lot for talking to us, taking the time out today to talk to us.